Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. My parents worked as sharecroppers until I was about 4 years of age. Our home was almost a mile off the highway up in the fields. At that time, we didn't have electricity or indoor plumbing. I remember playing at the end of crop rows while my dad and mom returned the soil for whatever crop they were about to plant. In fact, I still have the yellow road grader that I would play with while my folks were preparing the soil to receive the seeds. That road grader was my favorite toy. Really was. One of the first things Bev does is to prepare the soil each spring so she can plant flowers around the house in the backyard. And she does the same thing for the garden that she does. And I might add, a very good gardener. Soil must be prepared to receive the seed. And Jesus compares the soul to our heart condition. Just as the earth is prepared, so we must prepare our hearts before the first seed is ever sown. In the parable of the sower, Jesus describes four different spiritual heart conditions using the example of the farmer with his crop. Matthew 13, verses 3 and 4. 13, verses 3 and 4 in the Classic Amplified Bible. And he told them many things in parables, stories by way of illustration and comparison, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the roadside, and the birds came and ate them up. First, those who have a hard, ungrateful heart won't be able to receive the seed of God's word. Doubt and cynicism allow no place for the hope of his promise. Doubt and faith cannot live in the same house. No one can have faith for what they don't have knowledge of. F.F. Bosworth said that years ago. The person with a hard heart has absolutely no hope for their situation or circumstances changing for the better. Matthew 13, verses 5 and 6. 13, 5 and 6, Classic Amplified. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where they had not much soil. And at once they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they dried up and withered away.
Second, those who have a shallow heart with many stony places are easily offended. When things don't go the way that we think they should, they abandon the hope of his promise. Too many times we've heard people say, well, I tried tithing and it didn't work for me. I gave offerings, but nothing happened. I never received a harvest. This giving stuff just doesn't work. When people make statements about how they tried tithing and it didn't work, the truth is the matter that God was trying them to see if they would be faithful stewards, and they quit. God never gives up on us, but we often give up on him. A person's expectations need to be rooted deeply in the Word of God, not in circumstances. When people say they tried giving and it didn't work, they're basically voiding the word of God, or even worse, they're calling God a liar. They're saying, well, he's not faithful to his word. What they really did was try God, but quit before it had a chance to happen.
That's good.
The scripture is very clear in Acts 10, verse 34, it says, God is no respecter of persons. So for someone to suggest that God would do one thing for one person and not for another is really to make him as a liar. And we know that God is not a man that he should lie. And if you want to read it in the scriptures, it's in Numbers 23, 19, black and white. So if the seed is fallen on stony ground, it's because the sower is not paying attention to the details. Matthew 13:7 in the Classic Amplified says, Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out.
Third, if your heart is crowded with the weeds or cares of this world, including the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things, the seed planted in your heart will soon be choked out without producing any fruit. You know, as you travel down the highway of life, there are a lot of birds, buzzards, sitting on power lines waiting to swoop down and gobble up your seed. I once heard a motivational speaker for a large networking marketing company encouraging his listeners to fake it, meaning the lifestyle of the rich and famous, until you make it. Now, let me just tell you, living a lifestyle beyond your means will end up, you'll end up in all the D words, debt, disappointment, despair, despondency, depression. Living a lifestyle beyond your means, is this the kind of prescription that will keep you from giving to God the way you really want to? Financial freedom is not based on how much you make, but rather how little you owe. Sad to say, I know believers who've received tremendous financial blessings only to find themselves in more debt. If the first thing you think of when you receive a financial miracle is what you can buy for yourself or your family, well, you need to think again. If your thoughts are, now we can buy this or that, then you're overlooking the avenue that brought you the blessing in the first place. In other words, you forgot who brought you to the dance. Too many believers, are willing to give God the credit, but they're reluctant to give him the cash. Matthew 13:8. Other seeds fell on good soil and yielded grain, some 100 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some 30.
Finally, a heart that has had its soil turned, with the rocks removed and the weeds picked out, is prepared to receive proper seed and bring forth an abundant harvest. God wants us prepared and operating in the end time office of the giver. He wants us prepared for and about kingdom business. So let's look at Matthew 13, verse 18, and then we're going to go over to 20 through 23, and this is what it says. Listen then to the meaning of the parable of the sower. As for what was sown on thin, rocky soil, this is what he who hears the word and at once welcomes and accepts it with joy. Yet it has no real root in him, but is temporary, inconstant, lasts but just a little while. And when affliction or trouble or persecution comes on account of the word, and once he is caused to stumble, he's repelled and begins to distrust and desert him whom he ought to trust and obey, and he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and the delight and the glamour and the deceitfulness of riches choke out and suffocate the word, and it yields no fruit. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and grasps and comprehends it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100 times as much as was sown, in another 60 times as much, and in another 30. Here's a final observation on that, and make no mistake about it. The enemy does whatever he can to try to create the possibility of doubt and destroy your harvest. We need to understand that the weapons that he uses against us. The devil has three methods of attack. He tries to tempt, he tries to accuse, and he tries to deceive. One of the most powerful of these is his ability to deceive. Deception is devastating. In the parable of the sower of Matthew 13:22, we see that the deception of riches causes men to become unfruitful. You must take great care when your financial harvest begins and not allow the enemy to deceive you with the increase of your wealth. We really can't overemphasize the following statement. When riches begin to increase, you must not lavish the increase solely on yourself. The temptation is a real danger zone in your journey to God's abundant supply. The Bible actually tells us that avarice, the worship of self and material things, is a sure way to stop the flow of God's blessings. In James 4:3, the Lord says, James 4, verse 3, ye ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So the point is, don't be deceived by sudden influx of wealth. Deception will stop the harvest process. Our harvest depends upon an open heaven, a godly life, generous giving, and staying alert for Satan's deceptions.
You know, honey, 1 Corinthians 3:8. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor.
Amen.
Robert Louis Stevenson, the author of Treasure Island, Kidnapped, Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, among others. Stevenson once said, don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds you plant.
That's right.
That's a powerful quote. Seeds like, you know, being encouraging to others.
That's right.
That's a powerful seed.
It is.
That's a seed that will bring you a harvest, but you got to plant it before they ever come up.
Amen.
Same thing's true with so much of what you do.
Well, there's so many parallels about seed time and harvest, which is why the Word of God is so full of seed time and harvest.
Yes, it is.
It works in every aspect of our lives.
Hallelujah. Don't judge each day by the harvest you reap, but by the seeds that you plant.
Because whatever you plant today is what you're going to reap tomorrow.
That's
right.
Whether
it be finances, kindness, you know, words.
Whatever it is, that's what you're going to get.
That's it.
That's what you're going to get. Hallelujah. That's good to me.
Good to me, too.
We love you. We appreciate you. If you're blessed by the ministry or these teachings, go to haroldherring.com, click the button that says sow a seed, and ask God. Just ask God what he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.